Blog Talk Radio.
Feel me? You know? Who's that, baby? Who's that? Who's that Mo House, bro? Who's that Digi House? Kicking and talking that shit. Niggas was like, whoa. Hey.
I see you standing at the bar. I'm dapper damn fresh, puffin' on a cigar. Douce in my cup, ace of spade in the bucket. Chillin' on ice, got a pocket full of ducats. What's your name, who you is, I'm tryna find out who you are. I need a designated driver, hit the keys to my car. I been getting all this money, all praise to Allah. Farm whip, drop top, you could gaze up at the stars. Check out my appearance, nothing on me from clearance. This ain't happen overnight, this is years of perseverance. The night is still young, room service at the aroma. When you high your life, you never sober. Come closer.
I've been spending all this cash.
I got one question for you.
Hey baby, let me ask you something.
When are you gonna work that ass?
Switching four lanes, I've been getting all this cash, baby money ain't a thing. Got the roof in the trunk, I could teach you how to stunt. What you know about rolling fruit punch in the blunt? You got me tripping, I forgot to mention. Ever since an infant, I've been on that pimp shit. I've been up and down, flying in and out of town, reminiscing how I feel to make love in the air. Life is but a dream, sometimes it ain't fair. Keep your eyes on the prize of falling in love with a square. My neck and my wrists on Times Square bright. What's the point of living life if you ain't living life, baby?
I've been getting all this money.
I've been spending all this cash.
I got one question for you.
Hey baby, let me ask you something.
When are you gonna work that ass?
Working for a real nigga. If he ain't got the bank, why you dealing with him? Hindsight, that's 2020. You ain't gotta look no more. I'm the one you been searching for. Straight dope, uncut. Shock him pure. Being broke is a disease. And baby, I got the cure. Live smart, die genius. Keys, they open doors. With an ass like that, the world is all yours. Hey, hey, gone working for a real nigga. Make that ad work like a 9-to-5. Hey, hey, gone working for a real nigga. Make that air work, I'm talking overtime.
I've been getting all this money.
I've been spending all this cash.
I got one question for you.
Hey baby, let me ask you something.
When are you gonna work that ass?
Good evening. Welcome to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online Radio Podcast. It's Friday, January 14th, my bad. January 14th, 2022. And we here live on air. And I'm the host, Jay Sean, a.k.a. Randy Jackson. Okay, I mean, I love when I come on here and I see the phone lines jumping. I really do. That lets me know that what I'm doing What's up, Kay? That let me know that what I'm doing is meaningful to somebody or somehow or something. You know, I'm doing something right. And that's a good thing because we got a good show for you tonight. We got my man Kid Dre coming through, R&B sensation. We're going to find out about Kid Dre. We're not only going to find out, like when I get artists on here, it's not all about finding out about the music. I want to find out about the person, you know, what makes them tick. You know what I mean? What you know, what they going to do different than all the other artists do. You know what I mean? Like, I want to find out about the man himself. You know what I mean? And I'm sure everybody out there do, too. So stay tuned because you're going to find out. And then at 9 o'clock, back by popular demand. If you was here last week, you know we had the Zay Al-Saleem story. You know what I mean? Sentenced to 45 years in prison at 17 years old for a crime he committed. He's almost 34 now, so he committed the crime at 17. He'd been incarcerated 17 years. He's sentenced to 45 years. His co-defendant was sentenced to 30 years. And we just trying to see if we could get somebody out there who could help him by way of legal way, an attorney, a petition, some kind of way to see if we can't get him back in court. You know what I mean? And lower this sentence some kind of way. You know what I mean? We understand that somebody lost their life, you know, while the crime was committed. But we also understand that we all been 17 before. And I'm not trying to sway nobody left or right. You know, you have to make your own decision because I already made mine. You know, and that's why he back on the show again. Because Lord knows the things I did when I was 17 years old. I'm lucky to be sitting here just like everybody else. So Zay Al-Saleem is coming back at 9 o'clock. And stay tuned. And before that, at 8:15, in a couple of minutes, we're going to bring in my man Andre Gardner Jr., a.k.a. Kid Dre. I really like to bring R&B singers on my show because, you know, so many people rap, you know what I mean, and cool, you know what I mean. I love hip-hop. I grew up on hip-hop. I was there from the beginning. But it's something about that R&B music. It's something about the R&B sound. And me, myself, I love female singers, R&B singers. It always touched me in a certain kind of way. But then you had the likes of Anthony Hamilton, D'Angelo, you know, and R&B singers like that who could really move your soul too and touch your heart. So we're gonna get into all that with my man Kid Dre today. We're gonna find out what makes him tick and everything like that. But before that, I want to give an announcement today, 14 days of vegan. And trust me, that's an accomplishment today. That was my New Year's resolution to go to finish writing my cousin's autobiography, write another movie, which I did, that'll be coming out soon, and try to keep up with this health because everybody know I got diabetes and I got high blood pressure. So I figured if I could go vegan and cut back on eating animals, you know, it could help me. And I feel pretty good. It was kind of rough the first couple of days, but I'm on day 14, and I feel pretty damn good. 14 days of vegan, everybody. 14 days of vegan. I'm giving myself a hand clap for that. I mean, how many people out there are vegan? So let me go over a couple of rules and everything before we start. If you called in, if you want to speak to me or you want to speak to Kid Dre during the first 45 minutes, you have to press 1. You have to press 1. That way I know you want to go live. If you don't press 1, I won't know. If somebody is calling you and telling you they can't get through, they have to go on Andre Gardner Sr. or Andre Gardner Jr. or on my Facebook page, Randy J. Sean Jackson, or my private group, Keeping It Real with J. Sean Group, and you have to click on the link, and that way you can hear the show. Because a lot of people is they not be able to get through with certain phone companies. I believe it's Metro PS or T-Mobile. I don't really know. They having like some kind of merger or battling war over. You know, when it's always the powers that be, it's always dollar bills, they always arguing. So once they get all that straight, you know what I mean, everybody will be able to call in again. And I'm hoping that they hurry up. I'm hoping that they hurry up and get everything done. Somebody told me to talk into the mic and stop trying to sound sexy. All right, I'll do both of them. I'll do one of them. I'll talk into the mic. But sounding sexy, I don't. That's a God's gift right there. Once again, if you want to call in, if you want to speak to Kid Dre, you're gonna have to press 1. If you want to speak to me, you gotta press 1. You might just want to give a shout out. You know what I mean? You might just might be a birthday. You want to give somebody a birthday shout out, or you might just want to say something, you know what I mean, once we break the record, you know what I mean, you might want to give some advice, or you might be an R&B singer, you might be a rapper, you might whatever, you know what I mean, just call in and it feel good to hear people's that got your back standing behind you. It definitely feels good, because when I come on the show and I see all these numbers, like the phone lines is jumping, it makes you feel good. It makes you know that, you know, something you're doing is worth it, you know, and it really feels good. It really does. I'm glad everybody is in here tonight. I hope everybody out there staying safe from that COVID, that nasty, nasty man-made disease, COVID. The new strain of Marion or whatever, that's 10 times stronger than the other one. Hopefully it's at its peak and it'll start dying down, because this has really been something. You know what I mean? I lost my mother, you know what I mean, with this COVID shit. So it really hit home with me. You know what I mean? This was when it first came out, so it really hit home. And since then, I knew plenty of people who have had the COVID, my children, sisters and brothers and cousins. And thank God I haven't lost anybody else that was close and dear to me from the COVID anyway. You know what I mean? So everybody out there, just, you know, do your part and stay safe. You know, keep your mask on. I didn't get the shot, you know what I mean, but I tell people, you know what I mean, if that's what you want to do, get the shot, you know what I mean. I got my own personal reasons why I don't get the shot. I'm not trying to sway anybody any kind of certain kind of ways, but me personally, I just don't know enough about it yet. It was made too fast, and I don't know enough about it yet, and I really don't trust the government, and I'll just leave it at that. But it's 8:13. I'm trying to make sure I didn't forget anything. 8:13, we're going to bring our guests in 2 minutes, about 2 or 3 minutes. Hope I didn't forget nothing. If I did, I'm sorry. If you want to speak to somebody, press 1. If you want the link, if you're trying to call and you're having trouble. Oh, if you're having trouble calling in from your cell phone, you can call in from your landline, a home phone. It's always good to have a home phone. You know, that way you could call in too. So what we're going to do right now, we're going to take one quick break, and we're going to be back with my man Kid Dre in a minute. And I know everybody is anticipating this interview, because I am too. It really means a lot to me that he came on the show. So we're just going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with the Keeping It Real with J. Sean online radio podcast.
Shout out, Young
Swiss.
I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. Whoa, I think I'm in love again. And here we go again. Don't wanna have another heartbreak, but every time that I see him, we thought she'd take my breath away. Get a grip, and thought I would a friendship. Cause sailing with a Moby Dick, could fake a ship. Thinking with your head, but you get a shot of one. I remember all the past lessons that you learned from. A 90 day rule, but we rush it too. In 2 months, we send a text, I love you. In 5 months, became the best of friends. In 7 months, we put our first picture on the gram. On the foundation that we lay in, stay stable when nature throws us a curve, but love wins again. Thank you for showing me that I can love again. I'm your homie, your lover, homie, lover, friend, yeah.
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
Been 2 years and we still running. To get them butterflies when I see you coming. It's funny how life all works. You gotta open up your heart to operate to see how life works. When there's rain showers, the sun shines again. Gotta weather every storm just to sail again. I know the time is now, I gotta do official. I'm down on one knee, I hope you need a tissue. Do you take me for eternity? And make a pinky promise that you never leave. Even when you're mad at me, just don't up and leave. The future is scary, I don't wanna see. My life without you will be a tragedy. When I wake up in the morning, you will wanna see. I'm sorry, babe, there's so much that I wanna say. First, let me ask you, will you marry me?
Oh my God, I'm seriously about to cry right now. Are you serious?
Baby, you know that I love you. I want you to know that I love you.
I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I do. I love you, I love you, I love you, I do.
Welcome back to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online Radio Podcast. Somebody text me and said, could I please stop playing that record? That's the number one record on this show, believe it or not. Everybody asks us for that show, I Love You. But the kids, the people who made it out of Atlanta, Georgia, everybody loved that song. They said, because I don't believe in love. Like, everybody know I'm Mr. F. Love. play that record, I guess, as being like a hypocrite or something like that. But anyway, it's about that time, you know what I mean? It's time to bring in my guests. Before I bring them in, I just want to say that I really appreciate having this young man on my show. I always like when people use their God-given talent in this world, because we have so many people who just sit on their talent and don't really use it, and just let it go to waste. You know what I mean? So whenever I could find somebody that's using their talent, it really makes me feel good. And also what makes me feel good is because I know his father. Me and his father go way back, and he know my kids, some of my kids, you know what I mean? So it's an honor that I get to meet one of his kids. I don't know if it's the only one, but it's an honor that I get to meet his, you know what I mean? Because he knows some of mine, and that's how it's supposed to be. You know, we supposed to run together, and then our kids are supposed to play together, or we supposed to get to know them. But anyway, without any further ado, I wanted to bring in my man, Kid Dre. I'm going to let him tell you where he's from. I don't really want to give too much away. But Kid Dre, are you on the line?
Yes, I'm on the line. What's up?
Oh, what's going on, man? How you feeling?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm feeling good. I'm sipping on some 1800, you know. I always have to have me a little drink. They don't like when I drink too much, but I'm just having a little. I only drink on Fridays. I don't drink no other time. I only drink on Fridays. You originally from Patterson, right?
Yeah, I'm originally from Patterson. Yes.
But now you somewhere else. Can you say where you at now?
Right now I'm staying in Cibolo, Texas right now.
What's the name of the city?
Cibolo.
Cibolo? Well, I never heard of
Cibolo,
that one.
Cibolo,
C-I-B-O-L-O. Is it by Houston?
I'm actually 2 hours away from Houston.
Oh, okay. All right. I always wanted to go out to Texas. So is it better out there for your career, or you just out there for something different?
I'm just out here for something different right now. I'm kind of coming back and forth to Jersey for my music career.
Oh, okay. All right. I got to be the first one to tell you. I mean, I heard the record. Everybody else didn't hear it yet, but I heard the record. It's hot. I like the record because, like I was saying earlier, R&B is like, it's something different. And I feel like with the way the industry is right now, you can sing and be a great singer, but a lot of it might have to be your looks, or it might have to be your image, or a lot of it, you know, might be other things other than that. And I'm telling you, it seemed like, you know, from I seen some of your pictures, you know what I mean, and I heard the song, you know what I mean, and I hear the way you talk, it seemed like you got a lot of the things that you need to make it. But the one thing it is, what you think separates you from other R&B singers, or what you think is going to propel you into the next step, the next stage, you know, the next elevation?
So I think my music is kind of going to be different because I actually give, like, I go through, the stuff I go through in my life, I put it into my songs. I'm going to keep it 100 and everything. I'm not going to just write about something that could happen or something that might be able to happen. I'm going to write about something that did happen and how I went about it, how my emotions was during that time.
Oh, so you're going to write about whatever, love stories, hate stories, broken hearts, or whatever.
Right.
You're going to write. No, but that's real, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I'm a writer. You know, I write books and I write movies, and it's nothing better than having somebody watch one of my movies or read one of my books and tell me they felt like they was reliving it with me. So, you know, that's the same thing with music. You know, music touch people's souls, you know, and a lot of times, you know, the people could relive what you actually singing about, you know, so that's a good thing. So take us back a little bit to when you first found, when did you first find out that you could sing?
So my first time actually finding out that I could sing was when I was younger. My mom kind of forced me into the choir. And I kind of, like, I didn't want to sing, but I knew that I could sing, so I kind of, like, had to. But then I kind of ended up liking it. So it kind of, like, grew on to me, and then I started actually trying to perfect it.
Oh, so you started off in the choir. Well, okay. Well, you know,
a lot of people
started off with that old, what they call that, give me that old-time religion. A lot of people started off with that, with them choirs, man, they went on to do big things, you know, big things. So you already got that step in. So what you said, how old was you around?
I was probably around, I'd say 11, 11, 12.
11? Okay, so,
yeah.
So with all that going on, I mean, I know you're from Patterson. I know you like hip-hop. So you never thought about being a rapper? You just went straight to singing?
Not,
or did you try your hand at rapping?
No, that never crossed my mind. Once I found out I was able to sing, I stuck with that. I tried that rapping
thing.
It didn't work for me.
So how old are you now?
I'm 20.
Oh, yeah, okay, you good. You're still young. Because, you know, you got people, I know people still trying to sing 30s and 40s, and I don't really want to tell them to sit down, but, you know, because, you know, I mean, hey, I guess you're not old until you're cold, so I don't really want to say nothing. But 20 years old, it seems like you right at the right stage of your life right now that you could stumble into stardom, or, you know, you could put 2 or 3 years into working your way into stardom, and you'll still be relatively young. You know what I mean? So it, so if you started at 11, when you started noticing that you could sing and everything at 11, what were some of the artists that you looked up to?
So I had a family member, and he was kind of like a singer, and he kind of taught me how to sing. So I kind of really looked up to him as an artist, really, because he also wrote music too. And then I also looked into Donnell Jones. Donnell Jones had a way of, like, explaining his toxic love, but in a way that it won't hurt you because you can't even get mad about it because he told you.
Right. Did you get them pipes from your father? Can your father blow?
Nah. I actually got it from my mom.
Okay. Well, you got it from your mom's?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. So your mother is singing. That's cool. You got to get it from somewhere. Or you got, either you got God, natural God-given talent. And Donnell Jones is dope, though. You know what I mean? He was big in his time coming on. So is it any artist that you could say? Is it any artist that you could say that you resemble? I don't want to say that like their style is the same as your style, but if it was an artist out there, what would you say? You was closely like more like who? Anthony Hamilton, Donnell Jones, or you know who would you say your style is like, or is your style different from everybody's?
So my style is kind of more like the new era of like more like the Trey Songz vibe or like the Chris Brown styles, but my wordplay is different. Like my music is different from theirs.
Mm. Okay, so you want to do you? So check this out. You want to? So the question is, you want? Do you want to lay? Do you want a record deal, or you want to do it independent?
If I'm able to get a record deal, right? If I'm able to get a record deal, I take it. But as I grow on, I'll probably grow independent.
Yeah. Because I was managing my daughter. One of my daughters was in a rap group, and I managed them for a year. And I was doing a lot of reading and looking up into that industry. That industry is really a cutthroat business, man. You really, really,
yeah.
really got to be up on your business when you're in the music industry. It's deadly. It's really deadly. You know, they got them. The labels got them 360 deals. I know you heard of that.
Yeah,
where they take most of your money from sales and your masters and your shows and everything. So how much have you done in your career yet? Have you done any shows or are you
right
always
now,
in the studio or what you doing?
So right now I'm kind of really always in the studio. I haven't really done any shows yet. I'm looking to start doing shows this year, but I'm really main focus is being in the studio getting songs done.
Yeah, it's hard right now, right, with the COVID and doing them shows.
Yeah,
it's really hard right now. Yeah, it is. I could imagine. You know what I mean? Somebody text me and said, "Tell you to go independent. Fuck the major labels." The labels is gonna rob you blind. They will rob you blind. You know, so right now you got you said you got one single out, right?
Right.
So you working on another single, or you working on albums, or what you working on?
So I'm gonna give you a little inside scoop. So right now I have 7 singles done. And after I probably get 3 more, I'm going to work on my album.
Okay. Because you know how many songs you going to put on your album about?
Ooh, I can't tell you how that was.
Because, it's so different right now. Like, some people, they put out mixtapes, put out albums. People
yeah.
put out singles.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to probably put about a 10-song album, and then make a deluxe to it.
Okay, like a deluxe, like what, like a bonus track?
Right. It'll have a couple bonus tracks to it.
Yeah, that's probably about the best way to do it. So tell us a little bit about being that you started singing at about 11 years old, right? Tell us a little bit about growing up in Patterson. You're growing up in Patterson. You know, I'm sure the people, you know, it's people listening. I got a lot of people listening. They want to get to know more about you before they know about your music. Tell us a little bit about your childhood growing up in Patterson.
So, actually, my childhood was really mainly football. I was a football athlete from the age of 4 to a couple years ago when COVID first hit. So I kind of didn't really look at music as like a something I would want to do or like a hobby or something. I kind of really was just football, school. But I kind of grew up with a lot of friends. I went to a couple of different schools. My middle school years, I probably went to about four different schools.
Okay.
Growing up in high school, I went to 3 different high schools. I went to DePaul Catholic High School. I went to John F. Kennedy High School. And I graduated from Clifton High School.
Okay. All right. So you moved around a little bit.
Yeah.
And what you think is better about Texas than is better than New Jersey?
It's a slower lifestyle out here. It's kind of more my pace. It's more open space too, so I can kind of really focus out here and get stuff done instead of being in Jersey where it's the fast life, the fast pace. I gotta be on my toes every 10 seconds. It's kind of different, so it's like a more peaceful lifestyle out here in Texas.
Yeah, I could imagine that right now, especially being in Patterson right now.
Yeah.
It's more like this is one city that I believe got a big cloud over it. Even though it's my home, you know what I mean? I represent Patterson no matter where I'm at. I always feel like he got a cloud over it, you know, for the way that the younger generation is right now, but you know, we're going to come back. It's coming back.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. It's going to come back.
Yeah, so about the single, you know, the single that I got?
Yes.
The one about it. Tell us a little bit about that. What inspired you to write that, or what is that about? Is it about a female? Is it about a experience? Or what is the single about?
So the story about it is, it's about a relationship that I went through, and I was sitting there with one of my best friends, and we were sitting there writing it in the studio. I went in the booth, I recorded it, and I came out, and he asked me the question. He was like, it's about that girl, isn't it? And I just looked at him and started laughing because he automatically knew.
Oh, okay. So it's kind of about something that you went through.
Yeah.
Somebody texted me and said, "Where's your music at? We're gonna get to that, but where is your music at that people could hear your music?"
So right now you can go on SoundCloud. My music is up there. It's called "Feel Me" by Dre. I'm getting ready to put it on Apple Music and on YouTube. Coming soon, probably. A couple weeks.
Okay, that's what's up. Because you know, when I heard it, I really liked the song. I like listened to it a couple of times, like two or three times in a row. Because, I play instruments, I play music too. So, when I listen to music, I really know music. So I was really trying to. I was trying to get the niche to try to see like where you was coming from or who you sound like, but you really do got your own style, you know, and that's a good thing. When it comes to music, that's a really good thing.
I appreciate I definitely do.
You think you're gonna do any collaborations? Would you do a collaboration with a rapper, or would you rather do a collaboration with another R&B singer?
Honestly, I could do a collaboration with both. either way it goes, the way I sing, it's like I can go into like the hip hop beat or like the rap style beat, but I also could just do the R&B singer too. So I'm kind of versatile.
And you think and what you think, what you said before, what you think separates you from other, what you think separates you from other, all the other R&B people out there that maybe that you're gonna be able to make it?
I'm gonna tell my actual story.
That's right. You said that, right? You're gonna tell your actual story. That's a good thing too. You know what I mean? Like the name of this show, Keeping It Real. I think people really love when people tell real stories and especially when people tell the truth, you know what I mean? Because that's what people want to hear. And a lot of people, you know, became famous like that by telling true stories through their songs, you know what I mean? Not only, like that go back to like far as Johnny Cash and, you know, Ray Charles and Stevie Wonder and people like that. As long as you keep it real and tell your stories, you know what I mean? That's how it is. Sam, you know what I mean? You talk good, you know what I mean? You talk confident. That's a good thing, you know what I mean? Because you got to know in your heart that you're going to make it, you know what I mean? It sound like you got your head on right. Right now let me see who on the lines and see if somebody want, if anybody out there, you know, if you want to speak to Dre, Kid Dre, you know what I mean, you want to make a comment, you want a mistake, statement, we got a couple of people on the line right now, so let's go, it's cool with you if we go to the phone lines?
Of course.
Okay, all right, let's go to the phone lines. 3494, you on the line. 3494. Hello. Maybe they pressed 1 by mistake. Let's go to another caller. 2948. You live.
Yo.
Yo, hello.
What's good?
What's going on?
What's
up? I just wanted to say, sound like a good young dude. I'm glad to see you doing your thing, putting your talent to use. You know, keep up the good work. I mean, I can't wait to hear your song.
Where you calling from? From where?
From Maryland.
Maryland?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. We're gonna break the record in a minute.
All right, bet.
And thanks for calling in, you know what I mean? And don't go nowhere, just stay tuned till we throw it on. That's all you want to say? You want to say anything else?
Nah, that's it.
Okay. All right, thanks for calling in.
Definitely.
I'll be cool. All right. We got another one up here. 5215, you live.
Jay, what's good, brother? This is Dre. What's good? This is Father.
You said Dre was good or Jay was good?
Dre, yeah, Jay was good. This is Father, Dre.
Oh. What's good, Dre?
What's going on, brother?
No, what's the deal?
Man, you know, he's in life, you know, chilling, you know. Hey, but you know, music in our family, you know that? You know, my uncle is one of the first DJs in Patterson, Miss Master Mike.
Oh, I know Miss Master Mike.
Yes, that's my uncle. That's my father's brother.
What?
You know,
talking about light skin Mike?
No, Mike from Van Howard Street in the basement back in the day.
Dark skin Mike.
Dark skin Mike, absolutely.
Oh, yeah, I know both of them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So it's in my blood.
That's what's up.
Yeah.
You proud dad on the line.
Yeah, you know. Dre a little shy, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I have to talk up for him, you know. He got things going on, like, you know, real positive things, you know, he can't talk about. That's what he said, you know, he can't talk about this and that, you know, but he got little people knocking on his door. They looking at him heavy.
Okay.
Real heavy, you
know.
Yes. So, you know,
well,
once he get the, you know, when his mentor just passed away on Wednesday, Flav, Derek, you know.
Oh, wow. And,
it's
hard to hear that.
Yeah, man. Yeah. Black was a good dude. Back in the day, him and Dre used to be battling in the car, just singing. You know what I mean? Black was like, sing this. Dre used to sing that song. Sing this. Dre started singing. You know what I mean? Sing this. Dre started singing R. Kelly. Sing this song. He just started going back and back. I said, man, y'all joke is bugging. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know, I used to be a football coach. Man, you got to run that ball, man. All that thing ain't going to cut it, brother. You got to run that football. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, maybe this ain't God's plan.
Yeah.
I know,
man. It's a but I'm going to tell you something, though, man. It's a lot of room out here for everybody. You know what I'm saying? And it's all about having the right song at the right place at the right time, you know.
Right.
And I always say everything is just like a fingertip away. You know what I mean? And
right.
Hopefully it's only a fingertip away from Kid. You know, my man Kid Dre. You know what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
I'm really hoping so. I thought he had got the singing from you for a minute. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, man. You know, Hey, Jay, you know how we used to get down. You know, me and Big Keith, you know how we used to roll, you know.
Yeah,
you
know,
I'm
now
throwing
that,
parties.
Now that,
so.
Now that we definitely can't talk about.
Nah, we can't talk about that. I'll be the divorce court by Monday.
All I can say about that is that you my man, you know what I'm saying? We
absolutely.
You good people, you know what I'm saying? You real and that's the only thing about Patterson is real to me is that you can meet real people as you grow up in Patterson and as you do different endeavors and ventures that every now and then you do meet real people. And like, you one of the real dudes that I met in Patterson, you know what I mean? And I could really honestly say that, you
thank
know,
you, yeah,
and,
you too,
hopefully, you know what I mean? Your son could make it, you know what I'm saying? We in the next year or something, or even sooner, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
We'd be hearing them on the radio, you know what I mean? I'd be like saying, damn, I had Dre's son on the radio show, you know what I mean? So that'll be a good thing.
I mean, a few people heard his song, like people in the industry heard his song already, like, you know, people from Atlanta, but no, they're like, oh, wow, who this guy? You know what I'm saying? Somebody else I can't say from New York, like, who's this guy? You know, Patterson always have talent from sports to, you know what I mean? Music, we always have talent, you know? Always.
Yeah, because
but,
Dre,
you know,
I was managing my daughters. They was in a rap group, and 3 years ago, 2018, my daughter and two of her girlfriends, the name of the group was ATL. I managed them for a year, and they rapped for Fetty Wap on 12 Fast. I wasn't even there, and he said, call your manager, which was me. They called me. He told me to go right to the studio. They was going to the studio, and they was making songs, but, you know, that's when Fetty was in between moving to California, and things kind of didn't work out. But that's how fast it could happen. You know what I'm saying?
That's how fast
something could happen, being at the right place at the right time, boom, and something could happen just like that.
You know, it's crazy because one day I saw Fetty on 12th Ave, and know what I mean? And he would start chopping it up. I said, yeah, my son's singing. He said, let me hear something. So I let him hear it. The next day, he sent him to the studio. He said, go to the studio right here. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, that's what he did. That's what he did with my daughters. My daughter and her group. Yep. The next day, he sent them right to the studio. The next day. Yep.
Right.
The next day, just like that. But anyway, it's good. No, I'm glad you calling in, man. I'm glad I got to meet your son and everything. We getting ready to play this joint in a minute because I know that's what everybody waiting for. And let Dre give us all his outlets and Facebook, Instagram, and all that, and see can't we blow him up like that? And maybe
I appreciate
a couple
you.
Of calls, man. You know how we do, man. You know all the way back from the basement parties.
Yeah, man. Listen. Yeah, I remember them days.
if you wasn't at Jay Sean basement in the '90s, you wasn't nowhere.
Absolutely.
All right, yo Jay, all right, one love, man. One love.
Peace.
Kid Dre, you still with me?
Yes, sir, man.
Yeah, man. Me and your pops go way back, man. That's a good dude, real good dude. So look, I wanna. We still got people on the line, but I don't wanna run out of time before we play this joint. I wanna play this song. What's the name of it again?
The song is called "Feel Me."
It's called "Feel Me." Wait, let me find it on my I got it on here somewhere. I got so many songs up here. It's cool. And what you said inspired it again?
A relationship.
A relationship? Oh shit.
Yeah.
All right, so look, you wanna introduce your song?
Yeah, this is Feel Me by me and my best friend Flea. You can follow him on Instagram at FLEE_5K. This song is kind of really how I felt. Kind of like just the way I express myself. Instead of me telling her, I just put in the song and I hope she hears it.
I hope so too. Alright.
I take these drugs to keep the pain away. And I wake up every morning, pray for better days. And I'll never say I love you, cause I know it's fake. And I don't know what love is, my heart was never made. I'm so tired of broken love, baby, I can live with it. You say you love me, but don't trust me, what's the difference? I know you did your dirt, and I can tell you not too innocent. And I don't want no quickie, says I want something real intimate. People say you changed, but it's crazy, I ain't noticed it. Yeah, you broke my heart, you got me good, I say I must admit. And for it to work, man, it gotta be 100. This ain't what you want, you should've left when it got started. Catching so much of these feelings, got me feeling too retarded. Feel my feelings in my face, now I can feel my love departing. And I can't keep you too close because I'm in my bed regardless. And I don't believe in love, I had to put ice where my heart is. Now baby, now tell me how you feel. I don't ask so much, I just want you to keep it real. And baby, I don't need love, just need some time to heal. But if you're down to ride, I'ma need you to sign it. Now baby, tell me how you feel. Tell me how you feel. I don't ask so much, I just want you to keep it real. And baby, I don't need love, just need some time to heal. You down to ride, I'ma need you to sign it. This is way more than pain, so you don't feel me. Ain't no cap when I rap, yeah, this the real me. I be really sparing niggas, that's a chill me. Light one up in the air just to heal me. If they don't better me, I told them keep they distant. Don't do this rapping shit, I guess I'm boring, gifted, I'm different. Pay attention, it's a difference. If you don't think so, I don't really think you listening. Cause my heart is not to be played with, And my heart is not to be played with, Very toxic, we start arguing and fussing. You told your friends that I treat you like you nothing. Girl, why you bluffing? It's always something. I'm going up, big bro told me just be patient. I skipped the line, I was getting tired of waiting. I love my niggas, but I tell them stay dangerous. We moving different, had to stop doing the same shit. I got a new bitch, cause my last one on that lame shit. A solid bitch, not the one that's looking for fame, bitch. Oh, you a gold digger. You see me rapping, going up, but now you know niggas. Hey, you took me as a joke when I approach you. Now baby, now tell me how you feel. I don't ask so much, I just want you to keep it real. And baby, I don't need love, just need some time to heal. But if you down to ride, I'ma need you to sign it down. Now baby, tell me how you feel. Tell me how you feel. I don't ask so much, I just want you to keep it real. And baby, I don't need love, just need some time to heal. You down to ride, I'ma need you to sign it down.
Yeah. That was my man Kid Dre, and that was his single "Feel Me." I got people texting me, man, telling me they like it. Somebody even said they could see they daughters ride, they daughters ride around listening to it. I really like the cut. It seemed like it's really like nowadays. You know what I mean? Music. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I can't really say it sound like. You got your own style. I'm not playing either. I really like that cut. I could see myself riding around playing that. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I appreciate that.
If you could make an all around album that sound like that, I really think you got something there. You know what I mean? I really do. So look, before I let you go, first. You want to give everybody, tell everybody where they can find the song at and your Facebook, Instagram, or all the stuff like that?
Okay, so, yeah, definitely. You can find my song. The link is in the bio of my Instagram, which is drekio.1, drekio.1. You can also go on my Facebook, Andre Gardner Jr. It's up there also. You can also go to my SoundCloud, which is Dre, D-R-E. It's also in there. Okay, comment, like, share. And, yeah, there will be on Apple Music and on YouTube soon, probably about 2 weeks. I'm getting ready to shoot a video for that coming soon. So be prepared.
So, look, if there's anything that we didn't talk about that you want people to know about you or your music, what would you want your fans or my listeners or your soon-to-be fans to know about you?
Kind of really, my music is really for the ladies. I'm not even going to lie. My music is really for the females. The female attraction to the music is kind of what makes me. What makes me sing, like, it's just that.
For the ladies?
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, they the ones that's going to buy the records. They the ones that's going
to
pay.
They're the ones that's going to buy it, so I need them to give me suggestions. I need them. I need them to tell me what do they want to hear. What do you guys want to hear me sing?
Well, that song right there was a song you wrote from a bad situation that you had from a woman, then I hate to say it, but you need more bad situations. That record is hot. You know, I'm really feeling that record. If there's anybody out there who want to speak to my man Kid Dre before we let him go, you have to press 1. I hope I didn't miss anybody. I see a couple of people. I think I clicked now. If anybody out there want to talk to Kid Dre, you have to press 1 before we leave, before we let him go. We're going to play a song again on the way out, play a song all night, as a matter of fact. We're going to play it a couple of more times. But this is my man, Kid Dre. I still didn't get that. You said, I'm just going to say you out in Texas right now. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I wish you nothing but the best. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
And I'm gonna continue playing your record. You know what I mean? And if I get any feedback from my show or anybody who listens to my show, I'm definitely gonna reach out to you or your father and let you know definitely what happened. You know what I mean? And I want you to know, like, you from this day on, like, you a friend to the show. So whenever you put out a single, when you put it out on social media, send me one of them and I'll put it in rotation on my radio show. You know what I mean?
Thank you.
And I think we got another caller. Let me see before we so many people on the line. One second, let's check this out. 2911, you live.
Hi.
911. Hello.
My name's Tamaya. I'm his little sister.
How you doing?
I'm good. Oh, can you tell me to sing a note real quick?
You said what?
Tell him to sing something real quick.
Oh. I mean, Kid Dre, you heard her. What you want to do?
All right, I got you. You really want to hear something? Cool.
Yes.
All right.
Love, so many things I gotta tell you, but I'm afraid I don't know how. But it's a possibility that you look at me differently, love. Ever since the first moment I spoke your name, from then on I knew that by you being in my life, things were destined to change.
That's all.
Hi, I like that. Hi, my man, Kid Dre. Was that nice? Was that good for you?
Yes, that was perfect.
All right. Where you calling from?
I live in Inglewood.
Oh, Inglewood in the house. Inglewood, New Jersey in the house. All right, thanks for calling.
No problem.
All right, Kid.
All right. Yo, that was dope, man. That's what it's about too. Cause somebody texted me and said they knew that somebody was gonna say that. But when you can sing live without all the special effects, you really can sing, and you really got a dope voice. You really got a dope voice, man. We got about two more minutes, and I want to play your song one more time on the way out. So I want to thank you for coming on the show, Kid Dre. You know what I'm saying? I wish you nothing but the best. I want to thank people texting me about you. I want to thank your father. You know what I mean? And your family. Anything, you know what I mean? Stay safe out there. Keep singing. Keep doing your thing. You know what I'm saying? You got a gift from God. You know what I mean? And don't let nothing, you know, steer you wrong. You know what I mean? Just the one thing you got to do, like, you know, I didn't really think I was going to be able to write a movie. You know what I mean? And people was jerking me around, and I just put my mind to it, and I just did it. You know, I didn't really think I would be able to write books, and I just put my mind to it, and I did it. I wouldn't think I would be able to do a podcast. And now I'm like a year and a half strong with over 800 listeners, you know what I mean? So, you know, with the help of my other shows, you know what I mean? And we strong, you know what I mean? So, just keep doing what you're doing, you know what I mean? And like I said, when you get some music, send it to the show, you know what I mean? And
we'd be more than
happy to you know, to play it on the show, whatever you got, whenever you want to come back again, just let me know. You know what I'm saying? Once your father put the stamp on it, that was all I needed. You know what I mean? So I'm gonna play your song on the way out. I'm gonna go back because I think my next guest probably is on the line. We're going to play your song on the way out. What's the name of it again? Feel Me?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're getting ready to play Feel Me, y'all, right now for my man Kid Dre. We'll be back on here in a minute with my man Zay Al-Saleem, part two of the Zay Al-Saleem story. And Kid Dre, we don't wish nothing but good for you, you know what I mean? And you a friend to the show always and forever. You know what I mean? Stay and listen to the rest of the show if you want to. If not, I'm here every Friday at 8 o'clock doing my thing. You know what I mean? Peace and blessings to you and your family.
Thank you. Thank you. I definitely will be giving your show a shout-out on my page.
You wanted to give a shout-out? You wanted to give a shout-out?
Kind of just shout out to the people that actually go out and listen to my music, really. Just keep doing what you're doing.
Okay.
You guys can hit me with questions on stuff that, like, you want to hear in your song. If you really, like, got, like, real content that you want to actually hear, you can hit my Instagram at drekio.1. You can hit my Facebook at Andre Gardner Jr. And I'll get back to you. I'm not stuck up. I actually answer. So that's kind of it.
There you go, y'all. Y'all heard it from the man himself. You want to get in touch with him. And if you didn't get the information, just reach out to me, and I'll reach out to him, and I'll get the information for you. So we're going to play. All right, Dre, we're going to play a quick song, and I'll be right back with my man, Zay Al-Saleem. Peace. Be good, man. Stay strong. Stay safe.
Right,
okay, bro?
Thank you for having me. Thank you for having me.
No doubt. Peace.
I take these drugs to keep the pain away. And I wake up every morning, pray for better days. And I'll never say I love you, cause I know it's fake. And I don't know what love is, my heart was never made. I'm so tired of broken love, maybe I can live with it. You say you love me, but don't trust me, what's the difference? I know you did your dirt, and I can tell you not too innocent. And I don't want no quickie, says I want something real intimate. People say you changed, but it's crazy, I ain't noticed it. Yeah, you broke my heart, you got me good, I say I must admit. And for it to work, man, it gotta be 100. This ain't what you want, you should've left when it got started. Catching so much of these feelings, got me feeling too retarded. Feel my feelings in my face, now I can feel my love departing. And I can't keep you too close because I'm in my bed regardless. And I don't believe in love, I had to put ice where my heart is. Now baby, now tell me how you feel. I don't ask so much, I just want you to keep it real. And baby, I don't need love, just need some time to heal. But if you down to ride, I'ma need you to sign it. Now baby, tell me how you feel. Tell me how you feel. I don't ask so much, I just want you to keep it real. And baby, I don't need love, just need some time to heal. You down to ride, I'ma need you to sign it. This is way more than pain, so you don't feel me. Ain't no cap when I rap, yeah, it's the real me. I be really sparing niggas, that's a chill me. Light one up in the air just to heal me. If they don't better me, I told them keep they distant. Don't do this rapping shit, I guess I'm boring, gifted, I'm different. Pay attention, it's a difference. If you don't think so, I don't really think you listening. Cause my heart is not to be played with, nah. And my heart is not to be played with, nah. Very toxic, we start arguing and fussing. You told your friends that I treat you like you nothing. So why you bluffing? It's always something. I'm going up, big bro told me just be patient. I skipped the line, I was getting tired of waiting. I love my niggas, but I tell them stay dangerous. We moving different, had to stop doing the same shit. I got a new bitch, cause my last one on that lame shit. A solid bitch, not the one that's looking for fame, bitch. Oh, you a gold digger. You see me rapping, going up, but now you know niggas. Hey, you took me as a joke when I approach you. Now baby, now tell me how you feel. I don't ask so much, I just want you to keep it real. And baby, I don't need love, just need some time to heal. But if you down to ride, I'ma need you to sign it. Now baby, tell me how you feel. Tell me how you feel. I don't ask so much, I just want you to keep it real. And baby, I don't need love, just need some time to heal. You down to ride, I'ma need you to sign a deal.
Welcome back to the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean Online Radio Podcast. Man, that was that first hour was it was real. It was epic. I really enjoyed that. You know what I mean? And now, you know what I mean, we back with on a more, I don't want to say a more serious note, because the first hour was serious too. But we back, we on a different thing. If everybody was here last week, you know, we had my man, Zay Al-Saleen out here, incarcerated in South Carolina, sentenced to 45 years in prison for a crime he did when he was 17 years old. And I kind of named the show, like, when is enough enough, you know what I mean, or when does the penalty, when does the crime agree with the penalty, or something like, you know, something like that. And you know, we had a lot of mixed emotions about it. I'm not gonna lie to you, we had a lot of mixed emotions. But the thing that was good at the end of the show, we had more people that swayed toward Zay's side. That when you're 17, I mean, shit, you just 17. Like what you know, what you do, you 17. So what we trying to do now, we trying to some kind of way get him help by way of the podcast. He made it perfectly clear on this show and other shows that he not looking for no women. He not looking for no handouts. He looking for some kind of way to get some legal help, you know what I mean, to see if he could take this back to court and give some time back. And maybe somebody, you know, could be a blessing, you know what I mean? And sometime a blessing to you might be a blessing through you, you know what I mean? So that's what we really looking for here, you know what I mean? Zay, you out there? You here with me, Zay?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, what's good, man? What's going on?
Nothing, man. Maintaining, man. Another day, you know, getting through it.
We ain't talked since last Friday. How was your week?
It was all right, you know, still going through the quarantine of the COVID, you know, COVID spreading rapidly through the prison system and whatnot. So we're going on like 17 days at the prison I'm at on quarantine, you know, so we don't get to come out the cell, but, you know, 3 days a week, and that's for a shower. So I guess you can't complain about that, you know. Typical things that
so
go
you,
on in prison.
So you only get in the shower 3 times a week? What days is that?
Monday, Wednesday, and Friday.
And that's for everybody?
Yeah, that's for everybody. It's supposed to be like that at every prison, but they don't uphold that at other prisons. That's more worse, you know, in worse conditions. But, you know, that's how they do it.
Okay, so is that okay with the 3 showers a week?
You mean,
is that okay?
3 showers a week?
Is that okay, or is that a problem?
Well, you know, according to law, they're only supposed to give, you know, you a shower every 72 hours when you're on a lockdown type of status. And then the situation with the quarantine, COVID quarantine, you know, we're constantly getting cases every other few days. And so we have to be kept in the cell, you know, so. But they're obligated to give us those 3 showers a week, basically like every 72-hour thing. They got to give you a shower every 72 hours, you know. And so they've been upholding that. So I guess if you want to say, you know, that's okay in their eyes, but, you know, we got to put up with it, so.
Yeah, but I mean, like, on a personal note, is that okay with the prisoners, or is that something that they angry about?
Well, not really, because, you know, it could be worse. Where they wouldn't be giving us a shower, because I've been to some prisons we didn't get a shower for almost 2 weeks, you know. And so this right here is really actually okay with it's according to other prisons, you know, because there are more prisons that's way more violent, you know, way more troublesome. And this prison right here is a little bit more less violent, even though, you know, prison is prison. And so, but
yeah,
so it could be worse, you know.
Okay. So the prison you in is still prison, but it's not known for being notorious.
It was years back, man. But they turned into like after a riot happened years back, maybe back in the early 2090s. As far as I've heard, they changed it up and turned it into a complete program type of prison where, you know, guys who've been staying out of trouble, basically, you know, have the privilege to come to this prison if you're staying out of trouble. You know, they give you that opportunity to put in the application and they'll transfer you to there if you, you know, qualify for the criteria of being at this institution. And really, I can say it would be something like a little bit more privileges than you would actually have at another prison compared to the rest of the state, you know, because there's so many other things that go on that happens at other prisons. But this one right here, they actually give you privileges to where you can move around a little bit more. And, you know, I can say, you know, you don't have to worry about the violence, the stabbings, a lot of other things that happen. You know, prison is prison. Drugs and contraband still going to get in prison, you know. But other than that, this one is specifically, you know, you don't see that violence level. You don't see that people getting stabbed or, you know, you won't even often see fights. You know, you might see one every now and then if that's, you know, even something that happens.
That's a good thing.
Yeah, you know, and it really is because basically my whole phase of incarceration I had started my time at mainly violent prisons, worse prisons where it just anything goes, you know. And so after so much amount of time, I kind of like got tired of being at those type of environments. And when I heard about this institution, I was like, yo, I need to get somewhere where I can, you know, kind of like do time at ease a little bit, in so many words to say, because at those other places it is bad, man. You can't really do time at ease. You're always on the edge. And, you know, so getting here is also, you know, something that can, you know, keep my mind straight when you ain't got to worry about seeing that violence all the time and seeing the foolishness that's going on, you know. That's the plus of it.
When you were 17 and you got arrested, so they sent you right to a men's prison at 17?
Well, I went to the county jail first, but yes, it was a men's. It was the adult side of the county jail, and I'm in there with grown men.
You went to Richland County?
Yeah, Richland County. I'm in there with grown men, 30, 40, 50 years old. Yeah.
You remember, I don't mean to change the subject, but remember I told you I was in Richland County Jail in 81.
Yeah, I remember.
Remember I told you that, right? I was in Richland County Jail in 1981. I was down, that's when I was living down there, and I got caught up with some drug shit. And I never been back.
Yeah, I remember you had told me that.
never been back again. On another note, after last week's show, a lot of people reached out to me telling me that basically after the one caller called in and spoke about when you was telling the story about your aunt or somebody to ask you, why did you do something, and you told her you didn't know.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
My man that called in, he said he had spoke to the D.C. bomber, not the adult, the young kid that was with him, and he had asked him, and he said he didn't know. And it was basically really at that time when he called in and when you made that statement that a lot of people start bombing my inboxes and everything. And that kind of swayed them your way. You know what I mean? It made them, I guess it made them relive or re understand, you know, that tender age of 17, I mean, you know right from wrong, but, I mean, you really shouldn't be judged as an adult for something like you did at 17 years old. A lot of people do things at 17 years old, and, I mean, even murder. But, and then when once they get 21, they released. You know what I mean? Because it happened when they was a juvenile.
Exactly. You know, I know was, people...
Go ahead. No, I was going to say, I know people who've done, you know, crimes similar to yours, and, you know, they maybe received 10 years, 15 years, 8 years, 5 years, you know, different sentences, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, when you say that you want to try to get a sentence reduction or go back to court, I mean, I feel like it's within reason, me personally. You know what I mean? Because you got a lot of people who have made mistakes like that.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's a bad mistake, we all know that. Somebody lost their life. We know that, too. We can't bring them back. You know what I mean? But you still got what's at nature and what's at hand. Is that you have a 17-year-old person, you know what I mean, who committed a crime. And at 17, you can't – I look at some of my nephews and, you know, I look at some of my nephews that's young, like 17. I got a nephew right now that's kind of running wild. And I look at him. And I couldn't imagine him getting sentenced to 45 years right now with the mental state that he has. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It would almost be absurd, or it would almost be like almost impossible. And I mean, he's 17, and I mean, he does a lot of shit out here in the street, but I could not see him getting 45 years. I couldn't even see him understanding that right now at this time. You know what I mean? So, like, I kind of put him with, like, your situation when you was young. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's just, I don't know. It's just bad, Dykes. It's just bad. So... Where are you at with your case? You at a standstill or where are you
at? I'm pretty much at a standstill. The last paperwork I filed was actually dealing with a petition, and it was basically based on resentencing. And there are certain statutes that you have to follow and that the judges have to follow as far as sentencing you and stuff like that. And I have been studying up on a few matters dealing with my sentence. And in South Carolina, murder is 30, life or death. Now, you listen to the words 30, life or death. The word or, you know, what they did was they weren't pushing for a death penalty, and they weren't pushing for a life sentence. The only way they would have pushed for a life sentence is if I had went to trial, as far as what I knew of at that time when I was going to the sentencing phase. So with that being said, the statute that I was sentenced under was 30 or life or death. You know, so with that being said also, they weren't supposed to sentence me to 45 years, according to the statute of what it says, saying that this is what this charge carries, this is what he's supposed to be, 30, life, or death. But some kind of way, you know, they managed to still sentence me to 45 years. So that was what the petition was about, but it also spoke about, you know, my age, because there was some case law in there, too, about my age, you know, and basically it talked about, you know, how someone who is considered a juvenile who would be 18 years or younger when they commit a crime. And with that, that would, you know, basically, you know, put them in a category of being or supposedly being sentenced to something at least reasonable so that he would have a chance at rehabilitation. You know, not something so far out to where he doesn't have a shot at getting back out. And when they sentence you to an excessive amount of time, such as 40, 45 years, this is what you call a de facto life sentence. And basically what that means is even if they don't give you life, they gave you enough time that would basically cause you to be in prison most of your life, you know, rather than if I'd have got 30 years and I still had a chance to get out when I'm at least in my mid-40s and still have some type of life, you know. And also that case dealt with, like, basically the reason why the case was raised because it said that juveniles are not the same as adults as far as, you know, someone who is 30, 40, 25 years old, 50 years old, who knows better. So they said that juveniles have a more possibility of changing their lives when committing a crime so young, as opposed to somebody who's already up there in age, past the teen stages, you know? And so that's what the petition was about. And I haven't heard anything other than that it was filed in court. I'm still waiting on a response, you know? So that's my standstill right now. And then I filed some more paperwork, which was concerning me as a juvenile. When I got discharged as an adult, because they charged me as an adult, they were supposed to basically reach out to family court because I was still under juvenile probation. And in doing so, they were supposed to see if I wanted to waive a hearing or at least have a hearing, you know, for some type of, if I could say, possibly like a mental health evaluation. And they didn't do that. You know, but when that matter was raised, they said that it passed the time of a statute of limitations. So statute of limitations mean like a certain amount of years that you would have to file a specific type of paperwork. So that got turned down. And so the standstill, like I say, is basically at that last, the previous paperwork that I mentioned about the petition with my re-sentence. And like I say, I haven't heard anything back, but from the law, they're wrong. They weren't supposed to sentence me according to what they sentenced me to. And I had a guy, he helped me out, and he had explained to me why they sentence you to these type of time frames, even though they know that the law says 30 life or death. But they'll sentence you to something between 30 and life, which the statute doesn't say 30 to life. It says 30 or life or death. So they could not have sentenced me to 45 years, but they do it because this is something that, you know, how they say they have that type of control to where they can play with your life, basically, you know. And it's sad, but I was talking to my grandmother earlier today from up in New York. She still lives in New York, and this is my other side of the family that I recently found years ago. And she was like, you know, you would have been out if you would have been up here. I'm like, you're right. It's like, but just right here, this is South Carolina, and mainly most of the down south states, like South Carolina, Georgia, Louisiana, Alabama, Mississippi, all those places, they really sentence you to excessive amounts of time, you know. So this is what we're dealing with down here. But I believe that there is going to be something that happens, you know. I truly believe that. It may take some time, you know. Sometimes it takes time for things to change. And they've been pushing for law changes for years and years and years, you know. So who knows how long? God knows best. But I'm right there, you know. And being in this cell, I really can't work on law work the way I want, you know, with access to the law libraries and stuff like that. But, you know, you got to make the best of what you got.
Yeah, we're going to go to the line. We got a call around the line. Let's go to the lines.
All right.
9728, you live.
Hey, what's good with you, Jay?
Hey, what's going on?
How you doing?
Hey, how you doing, youngin? What's good with you? Yo, I was listening to your little
your little thing last week, and I'm back again. Out there, I wanted to do that follow-up, man. I was the one that said, you know, I had run into the Mal Volta, little sniper kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I got a question, right? It's like hearing you. I hear your remorse. I hear your remorse. You know what I'm saying? I hear your remorse in you, and I hear your pain as far as your sentencing. I got a question for you. It just to me, it really seemed like to me, I know you want to get some of that time back, and it just seemed like to me, would you be happy if you could get a 15 years back?
You used to say that again?
I got a question. Like, would you be like happy? Would you be content if you could just give them extra 15 years back?
Oh man, that's my goal actually. That's my goal.
I hear you.
And that's my goal because the reason why I say that because you know they gave my co-defendant 30 years. We're about to be done 17 years. That's 12,
right.
13 more years left, depending on the situation. If the laws change before then, it could be less. You know, so that's my goal. I feel like I've got this far. 13 years is less than 17 that I've done. You know, so I feel like, hey, that's nothing compared to what I've been through. And
right.
so
like
if I can get that, get that, man, I've told many of my, you know, Muslim brothers and people that I really consider that are good people, I'm like, man, if I get it dropped down 30 years, I'm going to do that on my head, God willing. You know, because I've been through a struggle back here. And 30 years is a lot of time, but when you look at, if you are in this situation and you look at other people's situations, you got guys with life sentences and never getting out. You know, I do have a chance to get out. Even though it's 2050 is my max out if I had to do all that time. But if I can get it dropped down to 30, it'll get, you know, it'll put me at least 20, 35. And God willing, if I'm living, you know, if I'm living to see that, you know, I feel like I have a lot more life, you know, or a chance at life to do things that I've never had a chance to do, you know. So that's what I'm pushing for.
Man, I feel you, and I hear that all in your voice. It's like, that's your remorse part of it, you know what I'm saying? That's your remorse. Be like, I do 30 for what I did, you know what I'm saying?
Give me
and
a chance.
I hear that all in your voice. Okay, one more question, another thing, right? I know you say your co-defendant got 30, you got 45. I never heard them say that they added the robbery charge to your co-defendant. If that's the reason
they
why
did also.
They did?
They did also, but they ran our time together. Like, they basically ran it together, like how they gave me 30 for armed robbery and 45 for murder, but they ran it together into one sentence, and so it's mine is 45. What they did with his was give him the lessest amount of time, which was 10 years for armed robbery, and gave him the less time you can get for murder, which is 30 years. So they ran it together, and that's why he only has 30. You know, so, yeah, they did charge him with the armed robbery, too. But they gave him both
like
the lesser of the sentences.
Wow, so it's like a flip there between the two of y'all. Like a flip sentence between the two of y'all, would you let it out with more? One more question. You don't have to.
No, you are. Just feel free to ask me anything. If I feel comfortable, I'll answer.
Which one of you guys actually did it?
Me. I was more involved in the crime. You know, I can truthfully say that. You know.
Man, you deserve it.
I can truthfully say that. You know, I never denied that even you know, to people that I'm real close to, you know, I hadn't spoke about this with my family until years later, you know, and now.
Right.
And my dad, he would ask me, he was like, my dad would say, I know it wasn't you that did it. I know it wasn't you that really had something to do with it like that. I say, man, Dad, I'm not going to lie to you. It was me. I was the more that had the more part in it. He's like, I don't believe it. I'm telling you the truth. I don't got to lie to you about something like this, you know? You know, and that's the truth.
Wow. Yeah, like I said, I feel you. I feel everything, man, about what you're saying. I feel your remorse, and I know you I just heard it from last interview, like, man, if I could just get 30 years, I'd be happy with that. And like you said, you know, man, after doing 17, 30 ain't number, 13 more ain't number the weekend. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Because, yeah, man, when you think about time now as opposed to back then, man, you don't see time the same. Time goes by so fast, you know.
Yeah.
And it's not easy time always, but, you know, it's going by rapidly. It's like a day goes by in no time, you know. So by the time you know, that's why I look at it in that fashion, because being in prison, most of the time the routines become the same. And so the days go by so fast, as opposed to when you're out in society, it seems like the day goes by so slow. It's like you never have enough time to do what you want to do. But back here, it's almost like it's the same routine, you know. And so that's why I look at it like that, that if I do get re-sentenced, it'll be something that'll be easy for me because of as opposed to what I've already been through, you know, because this phase right here isn't the hardest part of my incarceration. The hardest part of my incarceration was when I first got in prison, you know, when I was only 19 and I didn't leave from the prison I started at until I was like 25, 26. And that was the hardest part, man. It was the part that made me a man, you know, that made me say, thank God I'm finally away from that place, you know, because I went through so much. And, like, you know, I don't know, like, I'm pretty sure there's other callers online who may have been to prison, but when you think about prison, it's not easy. It's not easy as it looks, but it's also not what you see on TV, you know. Right. And I had a rough phase in my bid, you know, to start my first few years off. And I, you know, heard Jay Sean when he mentioned about one of his cousins or something like that, their mindset at 17, the mental capacity, they wouldn't have been able to handle that. I went through some heavy phases when I first started off, you know. I went through some heavy phases to get where I'm at, to, you know, some real, real serious situations. And because I've been through it, I can talk about it. But in the beginning of my bid, I had suicidal thoughts, you know, to the point that I thought I couldn't make it, but I made it.
Yeah.
You know, so I've got to a place that I can say it's easy, you know, in a sense, but it's not. But I'm getting through it.
I can dig it, bro. But I'm gonna say this, and I'm gonna let Jay continue the show, get another caller in. I mean, I asked these questions. I'm well experienced with that incarceration. My last bid was about shit when you got locked up about 17 years ago, and it was in that Virginia, that Commonwealth. You know how they do.
Yeah.
I was sentenced to 50 years for selling drugs, bro.
Mm.
50 years for selling drugs. They suspended 47 and a half. That'll be 2.5. I have 47 and a half years over my head. If I was to have a dirty urine, if I was to get caught driving without a license, I could go do up to 47 and a half years off of violation. That's how they had me hemmed up. But again, bro, I want you to keep your head up, man. I hear everything. I hear it in your voice, bro. And I wish you the best, man.
Sure, I will.
I wish and hope that you could get what you what looking for, bro. Keep your head up. Be strong, brother.
Yeah,
right.
I appreciate that. All right.
All right, peace.
Thanks.
All right. Peace, Kay.
Peace, Kay.
All right.
Yeah, it's nothing like hearing positive words, you know, from somebody who, you know, been through certain things like you've been through. You know what I mean? It's always a good thing. 3282, you there?
Yes, sir.
Hey, what's going on, man?
No,
I've seen you been
on hold
a long time, man.
No, it's all right. Let me take your speakerphone. Hold on.
And come on.
Okay, there you go. All right.
But before you say anything, I want to tell you today is 14 days of vegan for me.
Yeah, I was listening to you earlier. Congratulations, man. How you feel?
I feel pretty good. It was kind of, in the beginning, it was kind of mental.
But now,
when it's 14 days, it's like, it's nothing. You know what I mean? It's really nothing. Like, I actually, today, all day today, I really didn't even get hungry. You know, I ate this morning. I had some oatmeal and a smoothie and then some oatmeal. And I really didn't get hungry, you know what I mean? Because I guess my body is getting used to not eating meat now. So
right, you're training yourself, you're training your body. And like I said, you ain't going to miss it the longer you stick with it. But like I said, congratulations, man. Before I say something to the brother, I just want, when you had your first guest on, I just wanted to ask him, did he know that James M. Toomey had passed?
Oh, yeah, I heard that.
The juicy fruit man.
Yeah, I heard that.
Yeah, 73, you know. But anyway, also, Jay, you got to get with me so we can get this brother that number because, remember, last time I spoke to the brother, I don't know if you remember, this is Fars, but I got a podcast on Saturday night. And I got that brother, Manuel Gomez, the brother with the spy watch, Jay, remember?
Yeah, I remember. I went on YouTube. He got the
Crimes and
Punishment on YouTube.
Crimes and Punishment.
Yeah, Crimes and Punishment. He go around helping people who was wrongly accused or any kind of way they was done dirty by the legal system. He willing to help you.
Right, he's an investigator over in New York. Right. So I'll get that number to you so you get it to my man tomorrow, Jay, before I do my podcast. I'll give you the number.
Okay.
Yeah, dude.
What's his name again?
Manuel Gomez. And also, remember Ishmael Shabazz is working with a young man now up in Kingston, New York. So I'll give him both numbers. He can reach out to the brothers.
I'll make sure I get both of them tomorrow from you. I'll definitely make sure of that.
Does your guest have access? He don't have access to YouTube, huh?
Well, I get with Jay Sean and we'll talk about it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
If you have access, you can look at his video that he put up there, Crime and Punishment, brother. And he got this guy because he was being harassed by the police. That's what he does. He's very good, very, very thorough. You know?
Oh, he helped a lot of people in that video.
Sure did.
Or either he was trying to help a lot of people.
No, but he got a lot of people off, though, you know, behind technicalities,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
But I'll get that information, Jay.
Not
a problem, brother. It's no problem. I'll get the information to you tomorrow, Jay, and you can just give it to the brother.
Yeah, it can't hurt. You know, we passed the information on. You know
what
I mean? Yeah, because
maybe it might be a glitch somewhere. You know, he'll find it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's the reason why he on my podcast, you know what I mean? Like we trying to see if we could get him some help. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I was like, I'm gonna bring him back on the show and see if you know, it only take one person. You know what I mean? It just takes the right person to hear
the
story.
Right person.
You know what I mean? And,
right.
Even Manuel, even if he can't help him, he might know somebody who could help him. You know what I
right,
mean?
Right, exactly. Right, pass it along.
So I'll definitely get that information from you tomorrow. This is everybody on the line. This is my man Forrest Nance. He got his own podcast on Saturdays at 7 o'clock. Grown Folks Talk and Express Yourself is really it's turning into a great show. Really, I love it myself. Even though I work the computer boards, I'm really loving the show. So is that all you wanted to say for us?
Yeah. Just tell the brother Hank Strong I get that information to you, and hopefully maybe it'll be his pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, man, where somebody can help him. And like I said, there's a lot of things that people aren't privy to. I'm sure the brother's studying if they got a library out there. And he's making his own case, but like I said, this guy's an investigator, you know, and he's excellent, and so is Ishmael Shabazz. Plus, they got age, you know what I'm saying, and they're a little older than him, so, you know, with age comes wisdom, and both of these guys got wisdom with the criminal justice system. So, you know, we'll see what we can do for the brother. I'll get the info to you tomorrow. But, brother, the only thing I want to say to you is, you know, just hang strong. I hear the remorse like the previous caller said in your voice, you know. And we all make mistakes, some more than others. But like I said, doesn't make you any less of a man because somebody did something less than what you did. We all learn from our mistakes, you know, regardless of the outcome, you know. So, like I said, just hang strong, and I'll get that information to Jay tomorrow. Promise you that.
All right, thanks.
Ain't no problem, brother. Jay, I'll see you. I'll talk to you tomorrow, Jay.
I'll talk to you tomorrow, Forrest.
All right. Take care, bro.
Peace.
Right.
Peace.
Peace. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's my man, Zay. That's my man. Me and him go way back, like 30 years or something like that. So his word is gold. His word is gold. I want to make sure, like, time be going so fast, but you ain't got to worry about that. You could come back on the show whenever you want to. I'm trying to see if there's anything that we missed out on that I really want to touch base on. That we didn't touch base on. Is it anything you wanted to say, or is anything that you forgot to say, or is it anything that you think you feel like you need to say?
Legal assistance that does come my way, if you are on the line. Just understand that, you know, try to understand my situation, you know, as far as what you know of it, and put the your best effort forth and try to help me, you know, and try not to be too biased, you know, like I said, you know, and Jay Sean mentioned, you know, when is enough, man. I'm seeking that assistance, and you know, I didn't reach out to the people that I reached out to for no reason. You know, it led from another brother, Miley, you know, and Malai, and he hooked me up with Jay Sean as far as, you know, someone that I might want to get with as far as maybe seeking some type of assistance. And this help I'm seeking is not for any just any reason. It's for a reason, man. I really need this help, and I wouldn't be asking or trying to find some type of help because I've reached out to lawyers, you know, and explained my case to them and tried to explain case law as far as what I saw concerning my case, and the few that I reached out to, they basically was, oh, it doesn't this and that gave me all types of excuses because, you know, you also need money sometimes when it comes, a lot of times when it comes to these lawyers or whoever that is giving you legal assistance, and I don't have that, you know, so whatever type of assistance that can be given to me, I hope that it would be an easy situation for me that I could be able to handle as far as, you know, legal fees if that would have to come in place, but, That's basically, you know. And but I was thinking about from last week, you know, I didn't get this. I shared a lot of my story, and I think about, you know, a lot of who I am as a man now, you know, and what I've been through coming up, and me ending up in this situation, and how I am now as a person. I always often sit and think to myself, like, I wonder why I'm like this now as opposed to how I lived when I, you know, grew up. And how I am now as a person, I'm pretty much a loner unless I choose to, you know, be around people. And but then I thought back to when I was young, and I used to be like that too. Even though I had gang friends and people that were in gangs with me and I was in a gang with, I always had this type of way about myself where I was always a loner. You know, and I think about now in the situation, it's like I'm slightly doing it by myself. I'm a loner, you know, and I've been getting through it more so by myself as opposed to whatever family help that I have been getting, you know, and even when it came to legal assistance, I've been getting through it myself, man. And but like I said, I just appreciate you, you know, having me on here. And whatever it is that you want to ask me, if I feel comfortable enough to answer it, I will, you know.
So look, we know we can't, you know what I'm saying? But if you could turn back the hands of time, right? Say like if you could turn back the hands of time into back when you were 17 years old, right?
Yeah.
This is something I'm saying this because it might be able to help somebody else that's got a nephew or a son or something that might be running around 17 with the same rage or the same anger or the same feeling that you had. Or I don't really know what feeling you had, but I mean, you told us a little bit about your situation with your parents and everything. What kind of advice would you give somebody that's dealing with a 17-year-old Zay?
Well, you know,
that could help him. Like, what could somebody have did to help you when you were 17, or was it impossible?
No, it actually is possible. I wouldn't even say that there wasn't any help for me. It's just that in my situation, you know, and a lot of kids growing up, they don't have both parents in the home, or rather no parent in the home. They might be raised up like I was by, you know, other relatives in their families. And the biggest thing is if you are a parent of a 17-year-old or you're not the parent and you're raising, you know, your sibling's child or something like that, try not to, I think that it would be more so my advice as far as try not to be, like if you have kids, but you're also raising him and this isn't your child, but maybe your brother's or your sister's child, try not to be so one-sided with your kids as opposed to your nephew or whatever, because I think a lot of what I did too when I was at that age and younger is my aunt and my uncle, they really were like one-sided when it came to my two cousins and me. You know, those were their daughters, and I was just their nephew. And, you know, so a lot of times when things happen or even things they did for them as far as, like, you know, taking care of them financially, it was one-sided. So, you know, try not to be one-sided. Try to be equal, because they're all kids. If you have kids or you're taking care of your niece or your nephew and you've raised them up for many years or tried to raise them up for many years, try not to be one-sided. Try to show the same love, because I didn't really have that same love from my aunt and my uncle, even though they tried. But I knew that they were biased when it came to their daughters, because that's their daughters. I'm not their child, you know, I'm just their nephew. And so just try to be equal with the kids, whoever they are, even if they're your children, try to be equal. Don't try to, you know, single some out and leave this one out and don't show him the same love, because that's how children also get in trouble and want to go out and do things that they have no business doing.
Yeah, that's true. A lot of times, if you wind up whatever somebody tell you not to do, that's what you do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you're young, they used to like to say, it's easy to go in the wrong direction, but it's hard to go in the right direction. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
And I remember them days too. You know what I mean? But me too, like the two previous callers, like, I could hear your remorse, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I could hear it in your voice, and I don't think it's misleading, you know what I mean? I really believe it's sincere and heartfelt and heart warmth, and I really believe
it,
you know what I'm saying?
It is, man, you know, it is. And I always say, because I see a lot of situations occurring over my years of being incarcerated with guys who have short periods of time to do, you know, and they get out and they get back locked up. And I always say to myself, man, give me a chance, you know, give me that chance to get out and I'll show you how to stay out. This is how I talk when I see an individual on the news. Like you had a guy, and this is the reason why they don't really want to change the system like that, because you had a guy, you know, at this prison that I was at, got out less than maybe a month or so. He had 3 murders and an attempted murder. He went out there.
3 murders?
His mind wasn't right. Yeah, 3 murders and an attempted murder. He went out there. He didn't leave from this place in the right mind state. He was, you know, smoking weed, doing drugs, whatever drug he could get his hand on, you know. And talking to him, because I used to speak to him, and I was like, man, you better stay out of trouble, you know, man. Yeah, man, I ain't coming back. But he went back to the same environment he had came from and you know, and started back out there within less than a little bit of time and started using drugs. Like I say, he didn't have, his mind state didn't change. He was just only concerned with getting out. And like I say, and now he's cased up with 3 murders and a attempted murder with less than 2 to 3 months, you know, and you have many more guys like that. And I always say to myself, man, give me a chance to get out. I'll show y'all how to stay out. And I used to speak to my little brother after I finally met them. I have a little brother. He's 31 years old. And he's not the littlest of all of us. We have, it's 5 of us. But he used to, like when I first located them, because they're from New York, and I didn't know that side of family. I didn't know my mother. And I told you the story. I found my family, my mother on Google or whatnot. When I was at the first prison, I started off at. And, you know, finally got a chance to know my brothers. And I met him. And when I met him, he was incarcerated in New York State Prison. So he got out, you know, and we finally got the chance to get to know each other and so on and so forth. But he kept getting locked back up. And I would write him letters like, man, what's up, man? You don't want to keep your freedom. You want to stay in prison? Get to swap me if it was possible. They could swap me. I'll show you how to stay out. You know, and I would always give them advice like, man, you got kids, man. You know, they need you. And I'm like, you don't want to be free? You tell them to come on and swap me out, and I'll show you. You know, and I am remorseful, man, and I really mean that. You know, like I say, I'm not the perfect individual. I haven't always had an easy road and things I did, because I have gotten in trouble back here, you know, because of the way the way my mind frame was. You know, I had an attitude, I had a temper, you know. I'm 19 years old. I hadn't recently long been out of the gang that I had been in, and coming to prison with all that time, you know, I didn't learn off top coming to prison. It took me time to learn, like, yo, hey, this is it, man. You should have been to learn your lesson by now. You know, at first it was kind of like, oh, man, it's just fun. It's like, okay, well, I'm in prison, but everything, you know, it's like it's not prison in a sense, but it was. And I didn't learn anything. But now, as the years go on, I'm like, wow, this is really reality, man. I've been regretting it, you know. I've been having regret for what I've done, but I didn't.
Yeah.
The seriousness of what I did didn't kick in until the years started kicking in, you know. And yes, man, I really regret what I did, man. I just want a chance to get out there and get and try and stay out, you know, even if it, and I always say, you know, people make excuses about jobs and not being able to find a job when they get out. Man, I'll get a lawnmower and work, you know, and work.
Yes.
As much hard work I've done back here for free, I would work for the smallest amount of money out there, especially when they don't pay us anything back here, you know. So, like, it's no excuse. You just got to want it, and that's what I want, man. And I want to get out, and I want to have a chance to show that I can stay out. You know, it's not like I've been in prison multiple times. This is my first time, and I feel that I need that chance. You know, like I say, I'm not asking to get out immediately, but I'm looking for some type of relief that'll give me a chance to get out, you know, because like,
yeah,
I said in the beginning, I being accepted the my wrongdoing as far as what I've done according to this crime, I've been accepted that and admitted my wrong, you know. So I'm not looking towards saying, okay, yeah, since you admitted it, you should just get an easy, you know, an easy slap on the wrist. No, but give me a chance, man. That's all I'm asking, man. And that's all I'm hoping for. And I think that it is going to happen.
So that's basically, you know, everything I could basically say, you know. Like I said, yeah. I appreciate for everybody tuning in, man. And like I say, whatever assistance that is given to me, I appreciate that too. Y'all can reach out to Jay Sean and whatever assistance that is available. He'll let me know. You know, he'll let me know some kind of way and connect y'all some kind of way with me.
We're gonna try to definitely make something happen, Zay. Definitely. Because I can't see you giving up. Like you said, you done came this far. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the government probably done did more with less. I mean, I hate to say that,
exactly.
But you know, like you said, they let
exactly.
my man out in less than a couple of months. He had 3 murders already.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And that's and that's how it be.
Exactly.
That's exactly how it be. They do things backwards. They definitely.
Mm-hmm.
So you and your co-defendant ain't together.
Nah, not anymore. He's at a maybe an institution about probably an hour and a half from me now. You know, but like I said, I always try to contact his mother and check on him from time to time. You know, and like I say, me and him, we look at each other like brothers. You know, and his mother, she look at me like a son. You know, she don't look at me like I don't know. But what she tell me, she don't tell me that she hates me. She tell me that she love me, you know, because our situation, we were young, man. We were young, man. And like I say, I looked at her like a mother in a sense, because there were times where I actually stayed over their house that night, you know. At times when my cousins wouldn't let me in the house, you know. And so they let me stay over sometimes. And so she don't hate me as far as I know. And like I say, he doesn't hate me as far as I know, and nor do I hate him. You know, we accept our situation and what it is, and we're trying to grow from it, you know. And like every time we do get a chance to hear from each other, man, it's like, yo, man, how you doing, you know? And that's the true feeling. And when we ask how are each other doing, we really mean that, because we – basically started this thing together, you know, and been through the first 6 years of our incarceration together, you know. Like I say, we used to always sometimes in the same unit that we were in, prison unit we were in, man, we get together and talk like, yo, bro, dang, man, you know, and expressing our remorse to each other, you know. And so, but I, like I say, I do try to contact his mother and check on her whenever I can, you know, and she,
we
go, you know, it's not.
We gonna keep pushing for something good to happen. We definitely gonna, we got like 1 minute left. Like I said, you're always welcome to come back. Is it anything you want to say before we end it?
Like I always say, you know, I thank Allah first. I thank God first, the Creator first, you know, and then, you know, I thank all the support that, or all those who have tuned in. I thank Jay Sean for giving me the opportunity, you know, to come on here and share my story, man. And because I always, you know, I always, always say it, but, you know, people that I'm close to that I just want to have a chance to share my story, because there's much more to my life, you know, as opposed to, you know, from what I've been through, there's so much, you know, and just sharing that bit, you know, gives the people a chance to see like, hey, maybe this guy, he isn't bad, you know, he made a mistake, but
I also want to say, man, I send love to my wife, you know, and I just thank her for being in my corner, man, because she didn't have to choose to be with me from, you know, this with the time that I have, you know, 45 years. That's a hard tenet to accept for a woman to, yeah. to say, hey, I believe in you. I believe that you're going to have a chance to get out of that place, and I'm going to stick with you, you know, as long as I'm able. You know, so I thank her much. And like I say, I send much love her way. But like I say, as I always said, and I've always said constantly, I'm looking for some type of legal assistance, man. And God willing, I'm granted that.
Yeah, okay. Well, like I said, you know, you're welcome to come to the show anytime. You know what I mean? Anytime. Yeah. All you got to do is let me know you on the line, and I'll bring you in. You is like official friend to the show. You know what I mean? And we got to just keep fighting.
Yeah, of course.
You know what
keep
I mean? Just keep fighting. I mean, you like you said, you did this long. And the main thing is, like you said, like I told you, I got a wild nephew, 17 right now, who in a bunch of trouble, mm-hmm. and stay in trouble. And he's so young and immature. And I couldn't imagine seeing him getting 45 years right now. It'd be like, like he wouldn't even understand the concept of it. You know what I mean?
I didn't either, man. I really didn't understand it whenever it happened, you know, when they gave me the time. You know, the tears
yeah.
came instantly, like, wow, you know. And it took some time, you know, but if you would let me, man, I would just like to say something else too. If there are young kids out there, you know, or anybody that's a teenager listening, man, think about your life before you make the wrong mistake. You know, think about the consequences of what your life could turn out to be if you do something such as something that I did, because a lot of young guys at 16, 17 years old, they have guns and that's all they know, you know. And they're going to end up in a situation to where they're going to be saying the same thing I'm saying years later if they don't get it together. And to end it, man, I had a 10-year-old cousin, man, and, you know, his grandmother told me, you know, he wanted to be in a gang, and he's throwing up gang signs. And I had to tell him, man, you don't want to go through that, man. You better ask your aunt, you know, your grandma about my life, man, you know. But like I say, man, just think about everything that will happen to you if you do the wrong thing or make the wrong decision, man, and look at my story and hopefully get some motivation from it, man, because this is a real life story. This is nothing flimsy. This is real. 17 years old, 45 years old, 35 years in prison, fighting, trying to get some relief, man. And if you don't think it's real, you'll know if you don't take heed to it, man. So if there are teenagers on the line, man, y'all look at y'all life before y'all mess it up. But, yeah, man, that's all I got to say, man. I appreciate you.
Man, it's a sobering moment, you know what I mean? And it's like you said, it's real for us because we listening, but it's real for you because you living it. So it's a different kind of real. It's a different kind of real for you.
And
you know what I mean?
And it's real, man. It is. You know, this past week, you know, you can die in this place, you know, just from doing all the time that you've done. You know, you not promised to get out of here, and I say that because a true story happened back here. Sunday, a guy that was 60 years old died, did 39 years in prison, life sentence.
Damn.
Died standing at his door. Yeah, died standing at his door, just looking out his door window. 39 years, had parole, went up 20 times almost and got denied. So this is a real situation. And Tuesday morning, they found another guy, 69 years old, dead, did 30 years, had parole, but didn't get a chance to get out because they kept denying them, man, it's real. I might not make it out of here. I could die back here from natural causes or whatever, old age, you know, so it is real. I see this. And seeing that two situations happen, two people dying within 3 days, you'd be like, wow, man, I just hope I can make it out. You know, it's real. It's real. You know, just like
it's real. It's definitely real. So we are like 5 minutes beyond our time. So everybody out there, I want to thank everybody for listening. I want to thank Kid Dre for coming through. I want to thank Zay Al Saleem for coming through. And we'll be back on next Friday. We got some stuff in store for you. A really nice show. And you welcome to call in, too. You know what I mean, Zay? You welcome to call in.
Yeah, I'll probably tune in a few times, you know, listen in, man, because I appreciate you for letting me come on here. So it's a must that I support you some kind of way, you know?
And I'm going to get that information tomorrow from my man because I'm working I work his podcast for him. So before we go live, I'll get the information. At least I could pass it to you. And you could have somebody reach out to him or you could reach out to him. Seemed like a really good brother, but he's real. I seen the
I wrote his, both names down. So then we can go from there some kind of way. Yeah.
Okay.
But,
so,
I appreciate it, man. For real, man.
Yeah, with that being said, I want to say peace to you, brother. Stay strong, you know what I mean? Keep your head up as much as those words can mean to you. And I'll be hitting you up this week, you know, checking on you.
Okay.
Making sure everything is good, you know what I mean? Or you reach out to me, whatever one you want.
Yeah.
I'll reach out to you or you reach out to me. All right.
Peace.
All right, everybody, we're about to be out of here and everything. We peace to Zay, peace to my man Kid Dre. Everybody, once again, we'll be back next Friday on the Keeping It Real with Jay Sean online radio podcast. Everybody out there, stay safe, please. The COVID is real, and it's taking people out of here. It's hitting home, and the government don't know what's going on with it. You know what I mean? They just as confused as they was when it first came out here. They don't know. So everybody just be safe. Keep your mask on. Wash your hands regularly. And just try to keep your children safe and everything. And we'll be back next week. Peace.
I take these drugs to keep the pain away. And I wake up every morning, pray for better days. And I'll never say I love you, cause I know it's fake. And I don't know what love is, my heart was never made. I'm so tired of broken love, baby, I can live with it. You say you love me, but don't trust me, what's the difference? I know you did your dirt, and I can tell you not too innocent. And I don't want no quickie, says I want something real intimate. People say you changed, but it's crazy, I ain't noticed it. Yeah, you broke my heart, you got me good, I say I must admit. And for it to work, man, it gotta be 100. This ain't what you want, you should've left when it got started. Catching so much of these feelings, got me feeling too retarded. Feel my feelings in my face, now I can feel my love departing. And I can't keep you too close because I'm in my bed regardless. And I don't believe in love, I had to put ice where my heart is. Now baby, now tell me how you feel. I don't ask so much, I just want you to keep it real. And baby, I don't need love, just need some time to heal. But if you down to ride, I'ma need you to sign it. Then now baby, tell me how you feel. Tell me how you feel. I don't ask so much, I just want you to keep it real. And baby, I don't need love, just need some time to heal. You down to ride, I'ma need you to sign a deal. This is way more than pain, so you don't feel me. Ain't no cap when I rap, yeah, this the real me. I be really sparing niggas, that's a chill me. Light one up in the air just to heal me. If they don't better me, I told them keep they distant. Don't do this rapping shit, I guess I'm boring, gifted, I'm different. Pay attention, it's a difference. If you don't think so, I don't really think you listening. Cause my heart is not to be played with, And my heart is not to be played with, Girl, we toxic, we start arguing and fussing. You told your friends that I treat you like you nothing. Girl, why you bluffing? It's always something. I'm going up, big bro told me just be patient. I skipped the line, I was getting tired of waiting. I love my niggas, but I tell them stay dangerous. We moving different, had to stop doing the same shit. I got a new bitch, cause my last one on that lame shit.
A solid bitch, not the one that's looking for fame, bitch. Ho, you a gold digger. You see me rapping, going up, but now you know, niggas. Hey, you took me as a joke when I approach you. Now, baby, now tell me how you feel. I don't ask for much, I just want you to keep it real. And baby, I don't need love, just need some time to heal. But if you down to ride, I'ma need you to sign a deal. Now, baby, tell me how you feel. Tell me how you feel. I don't ask for much, I just want you to keep it real. And baby, I don't need love, just need some time to heal. You down to ride, I'ma need you to sign a deal.